Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. My name's Renee. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. So I tried to grow grass last summer. That was my summer 2020, I'm not going anywhere project. And there were these bare patches in our little patch of lawn in our backyard that were bare. They didn't have any grass. And I told my sister, who we live with, don't worry, grass is going to become my thing. I'll fix it. Okay? So I went to the store, I got some grass seed, and I put some like little markers around the bare patches, and then I threw the seed on the ground. Now I got the hose, I drowned the seed in water, and then I stepped back, and about, like, all of that took 15 minutes. Okay, add 10 minutes for the store run, but it all took 25 minutes, okay? And then I stepped back, waiting for the ground to magically sprout grass like one of those Planet Earth videos, right? Where it all happens like in 10 seconds. So a week or so later, a few blades of grass began to sprout. And I was so proud of myself, I called my sister down and said, come look at my grass, I did it, check it off our list. And I walked away expecting those patches would fill in fully and instantly. I think this is how most of us interact with joy. We recognize our need for joy, and so we throw some seed on it. We look for the good. We remember it could be worse. We guzzle down moments and people that return our hearts to contentment, and we experience some joy, and then we walk away expecting it all to fill in fully and quickly. Well, it doesn't happen that way with joy, and it didn't happen that way with my grass either. A few of those few blades of grass, well, they got trampled on, and then I forgot to water it, and then within a few weeks, I gave up. I told my sister, grass was going to be my thing. I'm going to find something new. Well, fast forward a year, okay, to 2 months ago here in 2021, and we had to take down a tree in our backyard. So since a quarter of our little lawn was going to be a big pile of dirt, grass was worth another attempt. But this time, I decided to do a little bit of research, okay? And I learned things within 3 minutes of the first YouTube video I watched. There is way more to growing grass than just throwing some seeds down. Did you guys know you have to till the dirt? I know that's funny to laugh at the person who didn't know to till the dirt, but I didn't, okay? You have to till the dirt. And then you have to remove rocks or clay from the soil. And who among you knew that it was a good idea to actually water dirt 48 hours before you throw seed or sod down? It was all brand new information to me. I sent the video to my sister. I said, here's what happened. This is why it didn't work. Putting seed down is just a part of the process. Nurturing grass requires attentive care. And it's the same thing with joy. Nurturing joy requires attentive care. For the last few weeks, we've been talking about joy. We've been reading the book of Philippians together as a community on Sunday mornings. And this little book has 4 chapters in it. It's this letter from Paul to the church in Philippi. And in 4 chapters, Paul references and talks about joy 22 times. Paul talks about the location of our joy, the framework for our joy, the purpose for our joy. And this morning, we're going to look at what it looks like to nurture our joy. We're going to look at Philippians 4:4-7, just 3 small verses. They're in your program, and they're going to be on your screen as I read them. Here's what it says. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. joy is meant to be cultivated. It's not just something that like springs up out of the ground. We are meant to learn how to nurture our joy. And nurturing joy requires constant practice. Do you notice how he says always? Rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says it again, rejoice. Our joy is located in Jesus. We've kind of talked about that each week of this series on joy. And Jesus' love and activity in our life, it does not stop. So the source of our joy is unlimited. Joy is not bound to the circumstances of our lives, but the practice of rejoicing is a choice. Listen to how Habakkuk rejoices in Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Despair has a gravitational pull. And so when the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine and you didn't get the job and your kids are struggling and there isn't enough money and that conflict really hurt, it's easy to tip towards misery and anguish. But rejoicing in the Lord is this pivot point for Habakkuk. And the practice of joy, rejoicing, roots Habakkuk and us in the truth about who God is and what he lends to us when life is so very hard. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He enables my feet. He enables me to tread on the heights. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. This doesn't ignore the depravity or suffering that Habakkuk is experiencing. Rejoicing provides reprieve or respite from our fear and sorrow. And so we have to practice it always. Rejoicing keeps our hearts soft towards God and towards one another. You know, we followed those directions on the YouTube video about grass, and it took us 2 full days to prepare the soil. 2 full days of removing rocks and clay. We even paid our kids to help us. 2 full days of pulling up old roots from the tree we had cut down. All of that stuff was in the place we were trying to plant something new. All of that stuff threatened what we were trying to grow. Part of nurturing joy is removing the other things in our lives that are taking up space and threatening the growth or the health of joy. And so Paul begins to talk about that by saying, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Now, if we read these verses too fast, which we tend to do at the end of any letters that we're reading in the Bible, we read that as, "Be kind, God is watching." Right? "Be nice, Jesus' eyes are on you." As if you're like being recorded on camera. But there's so much more to what Paul means in this moment, okay? So get this. The other places in the Bible where this word translated as gentleness is used is to describe Jesus's gentle forbearance of others. And we see this gentle forbearance when Jesus responds to people's questions of challenge, or what Jesus chooses to do when people are angry with him. Jesus is patient. He's self-controlled. He's differentiated. He's restrained in his responses towards others. Jesus is present, and he's connected to people even when they're agitated. This is the evidence of gentleness in Jesus' life. It's the Holy Spirit living and working through Jesus. And this is who we're meant to be in the world. people who are curious, people who are present, people who are self-controlled, patient, and loving towards all people. You know, when the church in Philippi receives this letter from Paul, they're under incredible strain. They're suffering, they're being persecuted, it's hard to live within the Roman Empire, they are afraid. And when we are afraid, when we are stretched too thin, when we are weary because things have been hard, our hearts become hard towards God and towards others. Do you notice that? You just have less margin. We become hypervigilant, skeptical, defensive. We lash out. We want to retaliate. We have all sorts of really normal trauma responses. But still, the invitation is let your gentle forbearance be evident to all. Nurturing joy so that it grows within us and it fills out really full and it spreads out into the world around us requires gentle forbearance instead of anger, gentle forbearance instead of payback, gentle forbearance instead of cutting someone off, gentle forbearance towards all people, not just the people we like, or the people we want to impress, but the people who are making life miserable. Know any of those people? The people who challenge or disagree with us, the people who assume terrible things with us, the people who accuse or point fingers or overreact. This is really, really hard stuff. It's way more than be kind. God is watching. But the good news is we don't have to do this alone. Like you don't have to fill a gentle forbearance account to be able to be this person in the world. But it's the Holy Spirit who enabled Jesus to respond as he did. That same Holy Spirit is living in you and I. And he's forming love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and self-control within us, so that we can extend it towards all people. If we let the other stuff grow, anger, resentment, pain, it takes up all the space where our joy is meant to grow. Another thing we have to be aware of as we nurture our joy is the level of our anxiety. Ben read this verse just a little bit ago when we did our gratitudes. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Anxiety can take up a lot of space. And when our anxiety is activated or turned on, it can paralyze us or it can propel us. Anxiety shows up differently for each of us. So we can become apathetic, or we can personalize everything. We can disengage, or we can overfunction. And however it presents, when our anxiety is activated, when our anxiety is turned on, it is really hard to experience any sort of joy. When I'm anxious, I feel tangled up inside and like there is an electric current running through my body. It feels like my brain and my heart and my feet are buzzing. And somehow when my anxiety is activated or when it is turned on, it becomes like this impermeable shield around me where no joy or peace can actually settle into me until my anxiety is turned down or becomes disactivated or deactivated. And since anxiety is such a threat to our joy, Paul gives us really specific instructions for what to do when we're anxious. He says, in every situation, you get to bring that to Jesus. In prayer and thanksgiving, like we practiced this morning, you get to bring what has activated you to Jesus. You do not have to muscle through your anxiety or ignore it. You get to do something with it. Look at how David describes it in Psalm 95, verses 2, 6, and 7. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Jesus cares about the state of your heart and your mind and your body. And so when it is electrified with anxiety, Jesus wants to know about it. And sometimes when we're activated in anxiety, and we know that we don't have to experience alone, but it can be hard to know how to start a conversation with Jesus in that place. Do you ever notice that? Like, you think to yourself, okay, I know I'm anxious or I'm all tangled up about something, and I know in my brain that Jesus is with me, but I actually don't know how to start a conversation with him right now. One of the prayers that is most helpful to me in this place is the breath prayer. It's a prayer that's attached actually to your breathing. You pray one thing when you breathe in, and you pray another thing when you breathe out. And your breath kind of fills the words of the prayer. And so when I am anxious and I do not know how to start a conversation with Jesus, I start with the breath prayer. It's like a way of saying, Lord, are you there? Or Lord, I need to talk. Or Lord, I'm all tangled up inside. I don't know where to start with you. And so I'd like to practice it here today with you. Will you practice it with me? Okay. So you're going to breathe and you're going to pray. You're going to breathe in and you're going to breathe out a few times. Do that now. So breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. And now when you breathe in, you're going to say, Jesus, you can say this in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud. You're going to say, Jesus, I'm anxious. So as you breathe in, Jesus, I'm anxious. And you're going to breathe out, be near to me now. Breathe in, Jesus, I'm anxious. Breathe out, be near to me now. Do that a few times. Jesus, I am anxious. Breathe out, be near to me now. You can say whatever you want when you breathe in. Jesus, I am scared. Jesus, I'm over it. Jesus, I'm angry. Jesus, I'm all tangled up inside. And each time you get to breathe out, be near to me now. And get this, he's near to you. Always. You are the flock in his care. You're not summoning him from some distant height. You're just saying hello to the one who's standing next to you. You're reminding you in that moment, the one who created you, the one who formed you, the one who creates love and home in relationship with you is the one who's available to you in the depths of your anxiety. And when we do this, when we reach for Jesus in these places, Paul says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The God of peace will fill you with peace, lasting peace, complete peace, peace that surpasses your greatest imagination. Peace that protects you from the swirl of anxiety. Peace that allows you to extend gentle forbearance to the frustrating world around you. Peace that allows joy to thrive within you and spread out into the world around you. It's not peace just because you slowed your breath down or your anxiety seemed to calm down. It's peace that is given to you by Jesus, and it's outside of our wildest imagination. And this peace isn't just for us as individuals, right? It's something that we're welcomed to experience in community, with each other. All throughout this letter, Paul has encouraged us to be of one mind, to be unified, to be together with Christ. Peace is meant as a group gift. Okay? One of my most favorite things to do when I'm packing snacks for my kids is to put it all in one bag. Okay, I know some people are into the like separate baggie thing and every kid gets a baggie, but you know how much more snacks it looks like when it's all put together? And you know how much easier it is to share with friends when you're all pulling from one bag? I mean, I know you have thoughts about germs, but still, it's really so much easier to say to a friend, here, I brought enough. You want to share? That's what you get to do with your peace. Hey, I've got some. It's outside of my most wild imagination. Do you want some? Do you want to share in this experience with me? Because life is so much better when there's peace, even if nothing changes around us. Everlasting peace, sustaining peace, makes me lie down in green pastures peace, nurturing joy, leads to beautiful peace. Consider the state of your joy right now. Like, if you had to picture it, like my crummy lawn, what does your joy look like? Is it kind of like blades here and there, or is it full? What part of Paul's instructions do you need to practice right now in order to nurture your joy? What's for you today? Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, would you show us the state of our joy today? Beyond what it feels like, Lord, would you show us maybe what the quality of our joy is? Would you show us what the health of our joy is? And Jesus, in your nearness and in your goodness to us, I pray, Lord, that you would help us nurture our joy as individuals and as a community. So God, would you give us each here the one thing, the next step, the invitation to nurture our joy in a really specific and personal way. We desire your joy and your peace. Amen.